You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
2 weeks ago, Red Eye spoke with Wendy Peterson of the Carnegie Community Action Project about the Heritage Area Height Review. She was one of 70 speakers who headed to City Hall on January 20th to make their views heard on the proposed changes to zoning in the downtown east side. City staff were recommending that two sites in the area be zoned for high-rise condominium development. Staff were also calling for council to approve a strip of high-rises on either side of Main Street through the heart of Chinatown. Longtime activist and City Hall watcher John Shaler was at that meeting. John Shaler worked at the Downtown Eastside Residents Association and the Tenants' Rights Action Center in the 1980s and 90s. He joins me in the studio this morning to talk about what happened at the meeting and what it means for Vancouver and the Downtown Eastside. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Lorraine.
As many people will know, city councillors refused to hear delegations who came to speak against the zoning changes. Why was that?
Well, the single word would be pressure. They obviously felt the pressure. There were 80 delegation requests or around 80 speakers, and the speakers also had the backing of former city mayor, two former directors of city planning, a host of academics from SFU and UBC saying, don't go ahead with this plan until you've done a full plan of what the impact socially and economically will be on the downtown east side. So it seems like the vision majority on council got the message, this isn't a great idea to hear now. And in the middle of the night or early in the morning, passed an emergency motion not to hear the delegations and to split the two zoning areas, the downtown east side and what they're calling South Chinatown, into two separate areas.
Who's pushing for the development along Main Street?
Along Main Street? Well, the single easiest way is who's pushing for the continued growth and development in the city? Developers. I would assume that the power brokers in Chinatown or the developers who are looking to get a wedge into larger and higher buildings up to 15 floors is still a tower. And if you look at Main Street now, there's not much that height, and that would be a significant change. So developers in general are looking to continue that move eastward with towers. It makes a lot of money for them.
Now, why do you think council decided to send the zoning to for the two parcels in the downtown east side through a separate process? What seems to be going on there?
Well, there are two ways to look at it. One is they thought that was an easier way to do it. The second one is the one I have, which is basically you split the opposition. And that's been happening with the downtown east side for years, basically segment it, carve off pieces, develop the hell out of that area, and then say, basically, we're not going to look at the results of the impacts that will have on those areas. I'll give you an example. If one of the towers goes ahead on Main Street, in what they're calling the city and the planning department, Chinatown South, it will be basically a block away from Main and Hastings. And they're saying this is a different area than the downtown east side. It's BS, but it's been done for years. The NPA used to do it all the time. Vision seems to be doing it in a similar way.
That's interesting because it's kind of saying, oh, well, you know, if you move 40 feet north, well, that's another planning area to talk about, yet if you walk between those two blocks, you know the separation. It's not like crossing a river.
And it strikes me as kind of a local colonialism, as you create bogus boundaries. And then you say, well, the people in this area, even though it's a block away, are really different than the people in this area. And it's not so. They're low-income residents all throughout Chinatown, just as there are in the downtown east side, Victory Square, and all the areas that used to be called the downtown east side.
Well, say more about that, because you were active in the downtown east side back in the 80s. How is the area defined down there as downtown east side?
The first thing to say is it's what people think is the downtown east side has shrunk immeasurably. Back in the 70s, for example, and I take you back a long time, there was no downtown east side. In the planning department, it was the central business district. So consequently, you didn't have to deal with people. It was a business district. It was full of residents. And people who had a similar demographic, low income, lived in residential hotels and rooming houses. So when Bruce Erickson and Libby Davies and Gene Swanson and others started at the forefront of DERA and in a residence movement, they tried to rename what the media used to call Skid Road, and the planning department called the central business district, so everyone could say it's either derelicts or no one lives there. And the west boundary was Burrard. And the east boundary was Campbell, and then the two, Faults Creek in the north, and the waterfront, or in the south, Faults Creek on the south and the waterfront on the north. And the reason why it was so large is because there was a shared demographic. And there was a push while I was there to convince the media that Skid Road wasn't anything other than a pejorative, and the name, the Downtown East Side, came into existence. A large geographical area that didn't say there wasn't a Chinatown or a Strathcona, but spoke politically to the fact is a lot of folks live here and they live in certain kinds of economic conditions.
It's been a few decades have passed since you were involved in DERA, and that was pretty much right after I moved to Vancouver, and I used to watch some of the mm-hmm. city council meetings on cable television, much to my shock.
Yes.
At the time, the city council was dominated by the NPA, very right of center.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have vision councillors who are mm-hmm. making decisions. How have things changed?
Well, I would say not very much. I'm not in saying that. I'm not saying I want to go back to an NPA era with the George Pules and others who would not listen to us and treated us with a great amount of arrogance. But what I would say, the power structures of City Hall under the Vision Council haven't changed very much at all. There is this emergency fast-tracking of growth. There are packed agendas. It's a top-down decision-making. And I don't really notice a difference when I go up and speak at council that there's any more welcoming or any less arrogance. It's kind of like, I was thinking about it this morning, it's like going from Thatcher to Blair. People were hopeful there was going to be change, but we've got a new bunch of technocrats, it seems, and a planning agenda that is rushed. It's based on unlimited growth, it seems, higher and higher buildings, more for the developers, and very little room for people who want to come up to council. 5 minutes, you get your 5 minutes, that's your democracy. And I don't, in a sense, notice much difference at all.
What's driving this continual push for more density and more development?
Developers. Vancouver has a long history of land speculation and development push. The Downtown East Side has felt it for 30 years. The mega projects that were started with a Bill Bennett vision for the north side of Faults Creek, and some of your listeners won't remember Bill Bennett as the premier, and this whole idea of we are going to have lots of high rises and they're somehow going to trickle down, there's going to be a trickle-down effect. As soon as that announcement was made in 1980, you could see the impacts even back then on the Downtown East Side, rising in rent, loss of SROs, which has continued. And those mega projects have created what I call a dense thicket of high-rise, high-density buildings. And there seems to be an insatiable urge from the development community to give us more. I think one of the differences with Vision, maybe with the NPA, is that Vision is saying we are going to negotiate with the developers and try to get you benefits. I call those crumbs. There may be some benefits, like with buildings like Woodward's, but there are gigantic costs. When you over-densify and you don't plan well and everything's rushed and it's all about growth, you're going to get impacts that are going to hit socially and economically. And as that thicket of high rises is hit, there are more and more people shivering in their shadows on the street.
Gordon Campbell, when he was the mayor of Vancouver, brought in some significant changes in how city council mm-hmm. makes decisions. So committees now meet during the day.
Yes.
So, you know, if you want to go and talk to council or talk to the committees, it's often if you're not available during the day, either for jobs or childcare reasons, well, mm-hmm. forget it. And the committees have full decision power. What impact has all this had?
Committees always met in the day, even before Campbell, but there was a different structure. The committees weren't council of a whole. They were made up of three or four councillors who heard a bunch of issues and passed some of them if they weren't contentious and sent the rest to council. This meant that council didn't have to, all the councillors didn't have to be at every meeting and get overtaxed and get snarly, is what they get. And a lot of stuff was sent to full council meetings. And Campbell came along and said, we don't like this sort of more open committee structure where you could get to talk about the issue twice. We're going to make everything council of a whole and call it committees. That structure has remained under Vision, and I can't for the life of me see why they haven't started to change those structures. If they're calling themselves progressive and different, they're not doing that much differently.
Well, it's been interesting talking with you, and we'll have to keep our eyes on this issue.
Can I just say one last thing very quickly? The Chinatown public hearings, where they've carved off Chinatown from the downtown east side, are still going ahead, and they're going to be on February 17th. And if anyone who's not on the speakers list wants to get on the speakers list, what they need to do is telephone the city clerk's office, talk to Tina if she's there, Tina Hildebrand. If she's not there, just leave your name, phone number, address, and the number is 604-873-7268.
Okay, great. Thank you, John.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with John Shaler. He worked at the Downtown Eastside Residents Association and the Tenants' Rights Action Center in the 1980s and 90s.